made much progress with your soundproofing yet, Mr. Leeper.
Ah, Inspector Pirbright, fear not. It shall be done. The Lord will provide. Brother Barlow, the builder, says that he hopes to come by a lorry load of what is known as expanded polystyrene very shortly now.
Just so long as it hasn't fallen off the back of a lorry load. I happen to know Brother Barlow rather well.
And what brings you to our mission, Inspector Pirbright? Not more complaints about the sounds of joy.
For once, no. Tell me, Len, I wonder if you can help me.
Fire away, brother.
Do you know a woman called Reckitt, Miss Martha Reckitt?
Yes. Think I do.
How well do you know her?
I used to talk to her sometimes and try to offer her comfort. And tidings, brother, tidings.
Have you seen her recently?
No, not of late, I should say. No, no, definitely not of late.
You don't happen to know of any friendships she might have struck up in the last couple of months or so? There's been some mention of a clergyman, first name Giles.
Oh, of a Giles, I know nothing.
Or a clergyman, so-called.
Nix, brother, nix.
We understand that Miss Reckitt subscribed to your neighbouring establishment, Handclasp House, the marriage bureau.
That's right. I advised her to.
You, Len?
I did, brother. And within the scripture, multiply, remember?
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Do you know Sister Staunch?
Well, I have met her.
A goodly woman. I'm glad, brother, to help where I can.
Would you say that your relationship with the marriage bureau is close? Do you put much business her way?
I'm not on a commission, brother, if that's what you mean.
No, no, of course not. And do you know if Miss Reckitt found a friend through this agency?
I expect so. She is very deserving.
She may not have deserved what she got from Handclasp House, though, Len. Didn't you know that Miss Reckitt had disappeared?
I did not.
Don't you read the papers? I mean, it used to be your line, didn't it? Journalism?
Before I received the call. Now the word of the Lord is all the reading matter I require.
Well, Miss Reckitt met up with some clergyman called Giles, who was going to marry her and set her up in some country cottage or other. Since then, neither she nor her uncle's legacy to her have been seen. We have reason to believe that someone is making use of the marriage bureau to ensnare middle-aged ladies with means, get his hands on their money and disappear.
And what happens to the ladies?
Once he's got his hands on their money, You tell me.
I tremble to think, brother.
So do I, Len. So do I.
And if I could just have a sample of the lady's signature here?
Oh, here?
That's it. And there we have it. A joint bank account. Our first voyage together. Commander J.C.H. Trelawney, R.N., and Miss Lucilla Edith Cabell, tea time. I might say, Mr. Beach, that we shall soon be back to alter the names on this account to Trelawney and Trelawney. Hey, Lucy?
Oh, Jack, you're embarrassing me in front of Mr. Beach.
Thank you, Mr. Beach. I'll be in first thing tomorrow with my cheque for £500. Then I set off on my travels, eh, Lucy? An errand for a lady, Mr. Beach.
Ah.
For a special lady. A commission more precious to me than that which I bear from Her Majesty.
Oh, Jack.
You see how it is, Mr. Linton. What they call surveillance, is that?
Oh, well. Fancy.
First, it was a sergeant. Plain clothes, mind. But you can always tell, can't you?
Mm.
Following her. Round the clock, mind. Hiding in my cleaning cupboard in the hall, or loitering outside the hotel entrance, then slipping in behind her like a shadow whenever she set foot out the door.
Amazing. You don't expect it, do you? Not in Flaxborough.
Then there was this constable lurking outside the kitchens, built like a bull, evil-looking, terrified the waitresses, gave the chef a breakdown. I mean, you know what these frogs are like.
Highly strung.
Oh, don't I know it. Oh, I'm worried, Mr. Lintz.
Well, you would be. I would be.
But now it's the inspector himself, large as life, having breakfast in my dining room and watching her every spoonful of porridge. I mean, he's not one of my regulars for breakfast. Not like you, Mr. Lintz.
Thought I'd never seen him here before.
He'd never been here before. Oh, I'm really worried, Mr. Lintz.
You must be.
You see, she's run up one hell of a bill. I mean, she owes more at the bar than even the fertilizer reps.
Dicey.
Oh, dicey, all right. You're telling me it's dicey. I'm not going to stand for it.
I wouldn't.
I shan't. I'm going to make up her bill straight away.
Good idea. You best get a move on. He's going over to her.
Flipping heck. I don't want him arresting her before she's settled up.
Miss Teatime,
Yes?
I wonder if I might talk with you for a moment. My name is Pirbright, Detective Inspector Pirbright.
I am pleased to make your acquaintance, Mr. Pirbright. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Would you like me to ask the girl to bring you some coffee?
That's very kind of you, but I'd rather not have any more.
I was expecting you to come to my table, actually.
How so?
Looking at you across the dining room, I was able to tell two things about you. One, that you found the coffee disgusting. It isn't very nice, is it? And two, that you were waiting your opportunity to come and accost me. Most charmingly, I might add.
Thank you.
And what is it you wish to talk to me about, Inspector?
In the first place, I must apologize for the intrusion.
Not at all.
Oh, but yes. You see, the intrusion has gone more deeply than you are perhaps aware. My appearance this morning is, so to speak, the tip of the iceberg. A watchful eye has been kept on you for a part of the time you've been in Flaxborough.
It all sounds very intriguing, Mr. Pirbright.
There has been much concern felt here over the disappearance of two local women. They were perfectly respectable and, as far as I'm aware, unknown to each other. We don't know if any harm has befallen them, but if not, it seems quite incredible that neither has got in touch with any of her relatives or friends. One factor in common to both these cases, Miss Teatime. The women had registered not long before their disappearance with a matrimonial agency here in the town called Handclasp House. I'm not going to be obtuse about this. We do know that you have approached the same organization.
That is quite true.
And naturally, we hope that whatever has transpired will have a happy outcome for you. On the other hand, I think you ought to be on your guard.
Against disappearing?
Both the women who did had recently been successful in finding companionship through this agency. The coincidence cannot be ignored. We think it was the same man in each case, and that he was responsible for whatever has happened to them.
But you must not stretch coincidence too far, must you, Inspector? Are you suggesting that this hard-working gentleman has now turned his attention to me?
I am suggesting nothing, but I believe that a plausible and dangerous man is using the agency as a means of finding victims. If that sounds a trifle melodramatic, I'm sorry. It just happens to be the only explanation for what has been going on.
Then why have you not found him?
Because plausible and dangerous men are also, as a rule, very clever.
Someone must have seen him in the company of these ladies, surely.
No one who had reason to be observant. The accounts we've been able to obtain are sketchy, to say the least.
You have no indication at all of his identity, then?
No.
I'm sorry if I seem to be cross-examining you, Inspector. You must see, though, that a mere general suspicion could have terribly unjust consequences. Let me be frank. I have met a gentleman through this bureau you're talking about. He impresses me as being kind and honourable. In due course, I shall doubtless learn more about his background. But the relationship is scarcely likely to prosper if I must now regard him as a police suspect.
Of course, I see your point. And if I may say so, you certainly don't impress me as a gullible or incapable person. The fact remains that you, how shall I put it, your qualifications are exactly those which we could expect to attract the attention of the man we are looking for. For instance, I believe you are not without means.
That is so.
You are also a newcomer to the district and living on your own.
As you can see, Mr. Pirbright.
Yes, well, I don't have to spell this out for you, do I? No policeman in similar circumstances would be doing his duty if he failed to warn you.
Of course not, my dear Inspector. I appreciate it, but I must beg you not to worry.
I shall try not to.
Good. Now, is there anything else I can do for you? Are you sure you will not have some coffee?
Quite sure, thank you. But there is one way in which you can be specifically helpful.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman you say you've met. Oh, what's his name, by the way?
I think if you do not mind, Inspector, that I should keep that to myself for the time being.
Are you sure you're being wise?
Not unwise, I hope. Ethical, certainly.
As you wish. But at least you can tell me if you've received any letters from him.
Naturally. That is how these introductions are effected, you know.
Now, this is a photographic copy of part of a letter which we are satisfied was written by the man who made contact with the two missing women. Would you mind letting me see one of the letters you've received from your friend?
I should have no objection at all, Mr. Pirbright, but there is not one here for you to see. They were simply formal meeting arrangements. I didn't keep them.
Oh, mightn't you be able to find something, though, Miss Teatime? Even an odd piece or two in a waste paper basket would be enough.
In a hotel, Mr. Pirbright, one does not throw letters into a waste paper basket. One tears them up and consigns them to the toilet.
I see. Well, will you take a careful look at this writing and tell me if you notice any resemblance to what you can remember of your friends?
Quite different. Of that I am perfectly sure.
Ah. At least I seem to have been able to put your mind at rest.
Oh, but I was never anything else, Mr. Pirbright. Not really.
Ah. Thank you for your time, Miss Teatime. I must be on my way.
Good morning, Inspector. So nice chatting to you.
Oh, good morning to you, Inspector.
Good morning, Mr. Maddox.
Miss Teatime, I wonder if I might have a moment of your time.
Of course, Mr. Maddox. I'm having quite a little procession of visitors this morning.
It's just the little matter of
your... I wonder if I could interrupt you for a moment, Mr. Maddox. Do you happen to know if there is a decent car hire company here in Flaxborough?
Why, yes, there is.
Then I wonder if you would be so kind as to hire a vehicle for me. I always find it all so complicated.
Oh, well, of course. But first, there's just this
And
little...
there's one other thing, Mr. Maddox.
Yes?
It seems so silly, but I thought I ought to let you know I'm being followed by the police.
What? Oh, surely not.
Oh, but there's no need to look so concerned. I'm quite accustomed to being, as they say, shadowed by the police.
But, well...
Well, I thought I'd better mention it. These dear people are not invariably as unobtrusive as they and I would wish. And if they were to excite a little curiosity, it would only be natural.
Natural, yes.
I'm so glad you understand. Mind you, my own view is that I'm perfectly capable of looking after myself. But you will never persuade police commissioners that in England a woman can be rich and safe at the same time. Poor old Sir Arthur. I really think he pictures me as carrying the entire capital assets of Teatime Engineering around in my handbag.
No. Does he really?
Now, what was it you wanted to talk to me about?
Pardon?
Didn't you say there was a little matter?
Oh, no. No, nothing at all. I just wanted to be sure that you were comfortable, enjoying your stay. Anything further I can do for you?
I am very comfortable, thank you. I have everything I require.
Oh, good. Oh, that is good.
And you won't forget the car, will you? Here is my driving
license. I'll see to it right away, Miss Teatime. Have it waiting for you outside within the hour. A nice, comfortable little car, I imagine.
No. Do you know, I think I'll live dangerously for once. I should like something sporty. Something fast.
Fast, Miss Teatime? How fast?
The fastest they have.
Very good, Miss Teatime.
Do you think it wise, though, Inspector Pirbright, to leave this woman unattended? I mean, in the circumstances? I mean, it isn't as if you're any further along with finding out who this fellow is. Letting a respectable, well-off, middle-aged lady roam, unprotected, when he may be prowling the streets disguised as heaven knows what?
No, sir, I quite take your point, but do you think Deirdre could choose something other than my socks, sir?
Well, oh, that isn't Deirdre.
Isn't it?
No, no, you know Deirdre.
Yes, but...
Felicity, basket.
Thank you, sir. What I was about to say, sir, was that our previous attempts at keeping Miss Teatime under surveillance have only served to show that she cannot be kept under surveillance unless she wishes it. And she most emphatically does not.
And you're no further along with locating this cottage? Solving this cat or crab clue?
No, sir.
Hmm. Or with obtaining an adequate description of this clergyman, cum novelist, cum whatever he's chosen to disguise himself as this time?
No, sir.
Well, well. Not very good, is it, Inspector Pirbright?
No, sir.
Of course. If you can't tell a Lincoln-bred Yorkshire Terrier from a Sussex, I can only say I'm not so surprised. All the same, I'm very worried about this poor, helpless lady.
Oh, a thousand apologies, dear lady. I was prepared to find you flown.
Nonsense. I've only just arrived myself.
Excellent. In any case, I have a perfectly good excuse in my locker, or rather in ours, as it's a joint account. The money's paid in. 500 nice, shiny Jimmy O'Goblins.
Jimmy O'Goblins? My word! You are not one for wasting time, Mr. Trelawney.
Hello? Who's this talking to Mr. Trelawney?
Commander.
What? Pulling rank now, eh?
Jack.
I should jolly well think so. Now then, did you write that letter?
Yes. Here it is. I do hope it's all right. The cheque's in there as well. I have made it out to the daughter just in case there is some difficulty in Mr. Cambridge's dealing with it in hospital.
Very sensible.
Do let me read you what I've written, just to be sure it's all right.
Oh, I'm all ears.
Dear Evelyn, this is to introduce my good friend, Commander John Trelawney, who has kindly agreed to act on my behalf in the matter of the boat. Yes. He will hand you my cheque, which, as you will see, is for £500. Mm-hmm. I still wish you would let me make it a sum nearer the true value of the Lucy, or even half of it, but it seems that you and your father have made up your minds. Please give Commander Trelawney the receipt, and also the boat's manual, and any other documents, of which you will know more than I, and take him to the mooring.
Ah.
He is going to sail the Lucy here himself, a task for which I could scarcely have chosen anyone better qualified than a one-time naval officer. And he will wish, of course, to satisfy himself that she is in good condition for the voyage.
Yes.
I think, perhaps, there is nothing more to add, except perhaps the telephone number of my hotel, Flaxborough 2130, in case you wish to ring me about any details I've forgotten to mention. I do hope and pray that the money, ridiculously inadequate as of course it is, will be of some immediate use in easing your troubles.
Yes, indeed.
Yours sincerely, Lucilla.
I should say she's very lucky to have such a good friend.
Just as I am.
Now, how do I find this good lady?
Do you know Twickenham?
Oh, only as a rugger ground, I'm afraid. I used to go down there for the Navy matches whenever I happened to be ashore.
Oh, I do not think that that would be very near where the Cambridges live. Ah. Their address is on the envelope, by the way. It is a rather nice old house in a place called the Turnhills, mm-hmm. number 8. Mm. It's not so much a street as a sort of close, with the river at the lower end. Ask anyone for the old part of Twickenham, and you should have no difficulty in finding it.
Is there a station handy?
Your best plan, probably, will be to go to Richmond Station and cross the river. It's a pleasant walk and not very far.
Fine.
When do you intend to go?
Tomorrow morning. There's a London train just before 10 bells.
I shall see you off.
Oh, you don't need to trail around, especially for me.
Oh, but I shall, Jack. I know you are going up by train, but I cannot help thinking of you as embarking on a voyage. After all, it will be a voyage back, a real one. Are you not afraid of storms? You must think of me, waiting here like Madam Butterfly. I wonder if there's a hilltop from which I can watch out for you.
Oh, one fine day.
Oh, it all seems like a dream.
Real enough, old girl.
It sleeps four, you know. She does, I mean.
She?
The Lucy.
Ah.
And there is the loveliest little kitchen.
Galley, my dear.
Oh, of course, galley. You will not believe this, but I really am a very good sailor.
I do believe you.
Do you think we shall be able to sail in her all the year round?
Hardly. At least we shall have to winter in our cottage.
Yes, the cottage. Tell me about the cottage, Jack.
Ah, you shall see it for yourself very soon. White walls, thatch, little windows under the eaves. And central heating.
Marvellous!
And scarcely a soul within hail.
Whereabouts is it, Jack?
You'll see.
Tell me.
That's enough, my girl. You're sailing under sealed orders. Just leave everything to the navigator.
What an old tease you are.
Don't come into the station with me, my dear. I hate railway station goodbyes. In any case, you're seeing me off on the train to London tomorrow. Mustn't overdo it.
Oh, very well, Jack. Thank you for another perfect day.
Oh.
Once I see you off tomorrow, of course, it may be some time before I see you sailing up the river and inviting me aboard. How long will it take, do you think?
Well, I haven't had time to sit down with my charts yet. I shall probably do that on the train.
Do you have those lovely little spiky things that you walk across the chart with?
Oh, of course.
I knew you would.
Good night, old girl.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
That I shall say good night until tomorrow.
Oh, Jack. Oh, your train! Hurry!
Good night! Good night!
And now, Commander Jack Trelawney, keys. Oh, here. We'll find out just where this snug little berth of your absent shipmates is, where your lonely hammock is temporarily slung. I imagine this little number will outpace the old stopping train any time.
Number 8, the Turnhills. Bit run down. Wonder how long old Mr. Cambridge has had his financial woes.
Oh, how do you do?
Oh, good afternoon, young lady. Do some people called Cambridge live in this house?
Yes, they do.
I should rather like to speak to them, to Miss Cambridge, that is.
I'm Miss Cambridge.
No, Miss Evelyn Cambridge, I mean.
But that is me. I'm Evelyn. What's your name, please?
Well, fancy that. No, I'm afraid I haven't made myself very clear. My name is Commander Trelawney, and I wish to speak to the other Miss Cambridge, the lady who is the daughter of old Mr. Cambridge.
I don't think Grandad had a daughter called Evelyn, but I'll ask Daddy if you like.
Daddy?
Yes, he's called Mr. Cambridge as well.
Ah, well, perhaps if I were to have a word with him.
I'm sorry, I should have asked you to come in, shouldn't I?
That is most kind of you, my dear.
Daddy?
Yes, Evelyn?
There's a gentleman here looking for Mr. Cambridge.
Oh, do come in.
Thank you.
You do. My name is Cambridge.
His name is Commander Trelawney.
Ah, won't you sit down?
I'm glad to see you're, out of hospital again.
Hospital?
Haven't you been in hospital?
Well, not for some years, no.
Oh. I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood. Anyway, you're looking very fit. I'm glad.
Well, thank you.
Coping with, well, bankruptcy proceedings can be very distressing, I imagine.
Bankruptcy proceedings?
I've come about the boat.
Oh, but I don't think we want a boat. I'll ask my wife if you like.
I am not selling boats. I am here to buy yours on behalf of its original owner.
A boat? You're sure you don't mean a cello?
A cello?
Well, Edwin can't really manage it now. And Estella's got her hands full with a harp at the moment. I don't like to see it go, but I'm sure that...
I think you'd better read this letter.
Letter? Oh, thank you. Ah, yes, but this is addressed to Evelyn.
I'm Evelyn.
Read it.
Oh, very well. Dear Evelyn, I'd like to introduce my good friend, Commander Trelawney. It's a cheque for £500. Make it a sum nearer the true value of the Lucy. He's going to sail the Lucy here himself. Oh, there's obviously been some misunderstanding, Mr. Trelawney. To me, this letter's quite incomprehensible. I'm awfully sorry.
I see. Then you don't know this... this woman, this Lucilla Edith Cavell Tea Time.
I've never even heard of her.
Very well, very well.
Mr. Commander...
So you haven't been in hospital?
No.
And you aren't threatened with bankruptcy proceedings?
Well, I certainly hope not.
Excuse me?
And you don't have a boat? A 40-footer sweeps four called the Lucy?
No, really, no.
Then...
Excuse me?
Good afternoon!
Oh, dear. Evelyn?
Yes, Daddy?
Do you happen to know a lady called Lucilla Edith Cabell Tea Time?
Yes, Daddy. I was trying to tell him.
And who is she?
I don't know who she is, but I can tell you where she used to live.
All right.
Three doors up on the other side. She was very nice.
But is she there now?
Not now. She went away. She said she was going to get married to Mr. Jackman, who has the jewellers next to the paper shop at the top.
Oh, I see.
But I don't think she ever did.
Good morning. It's Miss Tea Time, isn't it?
That's right. Mr. Beach, am I right?
Quite right. Now, what can I do for you, Miss Tea Time?
I should like to cash this cheque, please.
Mm-hmm. £497.18 and 6?
Well, I thought I'd better leave a little in to keep the account open.
You do mean to draw this on your joint account, the one you opened with Mr...
Trelawney.
That's right, Mr. Trelawney, the day before yesterday.
I do, yes.
I'm sorry, just one moment. You are aware, I expect, that a customer with a bank account may not take out more money than there is credited to that account?
Mr. Beach, I do not see any need for irony. It is pure coincidence that matters in connection with our business, Mr. Trelawney's and mine, have arisen which necessitate this withdrawal so soon after the money was deposited. But after all, it is our money, Mr. Beach, and...
How much did you suppose this account contained?
£505. Oh, yes, 10 shillings for the checkbooks, I suppose.
I regret to say that you are under some misapprehension, Miss Tea Time. Deducting the checkbook charges at 10 shillings, as you say, there remains the original deposit. Exactly £4.10.
But Mr. Trelawney called yesterday to transfer £500 from his personal account into this one.
Well, if that was his intention, I'm afraid something must have prevented his coming in.
Dear me.
Oh, you mustn't worry about it, Miss Tea Time. We are quite used to these small misunderstandings. They happen, you know. They happen even in the best regulated circles, I assure you.
Well?
The bank is not embarrassed. We are aware how busy people are nowadays and how easily things slip their memories.
Well?
In all probability, Mr. Trelawney will be calling in sometime today and then we can...
Well, all I can say about Mr. Trelawney is that he has a pretty piss-boiling way of going about things. Thank you.